This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Broadcasting internationally from the Summit.News headquarters in the United Kingdom, it's Paul Joseph Watson.
So the first round of the French presidential election takes place on Sunday. You have Eric Zemmour, the firebrand right-wing intellectual. You have Marine Le Pen, the populist whose economic policies are somewhat left-wing. You couldn't describe them as right-wing, and she's kind of strayed away or done a light touch on the subject of mass immigration, but she's talked about crime. President Macron himself has talked about crime, much to his own misfortune, in the past few days, because you had a 35-year-old farmer in northern France. Four burglars broke into his home at 11 p.m. He shot one of them dead. He was there in his home with his 3-year-old daughter. And instead of coming out and defending this brave individual who had been charged with murder for defending himself inside his own home as burglars tried to rampage through it, he's come out on the side of the criminals. Macron responded to this home invasion by coming down on the side of the burglars. He said, quote, "I am opposed to self-defense. It's very clear and undisputable because otherwise the country becomes the Wild West, and I don't want a country where weapons proliferate." Again, he told the farmer that he should have called the police. The police aren't even out there in the rural areas for a start. The police who have to come from the nearby towns and cities are completely overstretched because they have gangs of migrant criminals running around committing crimes when the police try to intervene. But this is why you have migrant riots in French cities on a regular basis. The migrant gangs go and attack the police for trying to enforce the law. We've talked about it numerous times before. No-go zones, where the ambulance workers, the fire brigade, will go into these riot zones, try to help people, try to put out fires, and they're pelted with rocks by these migrant gangs. The police are completely overrun. They're completely stretched. So, no, you can't just call the police. Oh, there's four guys. You've got a 3-year-old toddler next to you. There's four criminals breaking into your home. Just call the police. I'm sure it'll take them only a few hours to get there while they ransack your home and potentially kill you. What kind of idiot advised Macron on this a few days before the election? But again, it is Macron. He also came out with more dumb comments, and this is why he has a chance of actually losing the election, which I'm going to get onto. This is a headline out of Remix News, rmx.news. "We are not overwhelmed. Left-wing Macron buries head in sand over mass migration." So mass migration, according to the polls in France, has been an absolute core focal centerpiece of the entire election debate. And Macron's basically dismissed it entirely. He said, "France is not a country overwhelmed by mass immigration, and a policy of zero immigration is not one that should be taken seriously." Because, of course, you have Eric Zemmour, who's advocated a policy of re-migration, sending migrants with criminal backgrounds back to their home countries, which you can do under the law in France. They have agreements with North African countries where they can actually do that legally. But in response to concerns put to him about the rate and success of France's immigration policy during his presidency, Macron hit back at claims from a number of his electoral rivals that France is saturated, claiming the country is not submerged. You have areas of Paris where there are literally hundreds of thousands of illegal immigrants, not just migrants, illegal immigrants living in one area. There was a story the other day about a Jewish man who was literally chased by a migrant gang in Paris to the point where he ran into a train. That's how bad it is. But Macron says, quote, "Our country is not overwhelmed, as some claim, and zero immigration is neither realistic nor desirable." They have a foreign population of about 8% officially. It's over 10% if you count the unofficial numbers. Obviously, they're not going to be able to count the huge number of illegal immigrants. It's only rising. We've seen the Paris massacre happen as a result of that refugee wave being opened up to literal jihadists who stole fake passports and were invited into Europe. We see police officers, teachers being beheaded, attacked on a regular basis. So Macron cannot dismiss this without it damaging his election chances. We'll be back on the other side. Summit.news.
In December of 2021, InfoWars offered the first in a three-part series, the 1776 Anti-Tyrant Coin, and it sold out in 10 days. And if it wasn't for listeners getting this original, powerful coin, a founding member coin, we would not be on air today. Now, the second coin, the Liberty Tree Coin, is being offered, and it will probably sell out in 10 days again. It certainly needs to fund our operation. It is so historic, and it has a quote from Thomas Jefferson about the Tree of Liberty being refreshed with the blood of patriots and tyrants and more. See the coin for yourself at 1776coin.com. It's also at InfoWarsStore.com. It's amazing. There's only 10,000 of them, and as a founding member, if we're able to stay on the air, we're planning something very, very special for everyone that helps us go to the next level. So get your new Tree of Liberty coin while you still can at 1776coin.com.
We are back. It is the fourth hour. It is the Summit News Hour. And before the break, I was talking about President Macron facing what appears to be a tight race in the first round of the presidential election on Sunday. Of course, he's going to get through to the second round. The way it works is everyone votes for the candidates in the first round. The highest percentage tolls, two of whom go through to the second round, which then takes place a few weeks later. Macron is going to get through to the second round. The question is, who is going to be his challenger? From the polls, it looks like Marine Le Pen, and I'm going to get onto an even more important poll here in a moment. But Macron's come out with some bizarre statement, throwing a guy who tried to defend his house and his three-year-old daughter from criminals under a bus because he shot them dead. He also came out and basically denied that mass uncontrolled immigration was a problem in France, despite the evidence of the past, 8 years, proving that to be a completely ludicrous statement. You have a large concentration of support around all these rival candidates based on what is a core issue in France, mass uncontrolled immigration, and Macron thinks he can just ignore it. One person who isn't ignoring it is the former French intelligence chief. This is the equivalent of the former head of the CIA in France, Pierre Brochan, who warns that Europe and France, unless they radically change their policies on mass immigration, civil war could break out. And he said, quote, all multicultural societies are doomed. Again, this is the former head of the equivalent of the French CIA, DGSE, served from 2002 to 2008, and he made these comments during an interview with the prominent French newspaper Le Figaro. He said, quote, all multicultural societies are doomed to more or less deep rifts. Said, in such a situation, it happens that minorities are violent winners and majorities placid losers. He went on to say the negative impact of mass immigration on France, which Macron completely ignores as even an election issue, can no longer be dismissed because it's, quote, increasingly difficult to prevent the French from seeing what they see. And also because, quote, a breakthrough personality suddenly appeared in the formulaic world of politics that has encouraged them to open their eyes. This is, again, former head of French intelligence saying this. This is no small potatoes. The ex-intel chief predicts that if Macron does win and fails to massively alter his approach, which he will fail to massively alter it, civil war could ensue. And remember, we had those letters last year signed by top military generals in France. We had a similar letter signed by police officials in France saying that they fear civil war because they're no longer able to enforce basic law in many of these outskirts suburban areas of major French cities, which has been completely overrun by criminal migrant gangs. There's a complete collapse in law and order. This intelligence chief went on to say, quote, this gradual upheaval of the French population, if not the only challenge we face, is the only one that directly threatens civil peace on our territory. He warned that Muslim migrants and others from outside of Europe, who are increasing every year, have developed, quote, a spirit of post-colonial revenge. He goes on to talk about birth rates. And he goes on to talk about younger generations born of immigrants are, quote, even less integrated with French society than their parents. And that's a common theme that you see in numerous European countries, including here in the UK. So they're having more babies. The native French population isn't having babies. And in fact, polls show, much to the chagrin of the regime narrative, that anyone who talks about, quote, the great replacement is a radical fringe conspiracy theorist. They had a poll where the majority of French people, in a Harris Interactive poll, felt that Europeans were being replaced by non-Europeans in countries like France. That is now a majority opinion in major European countries like France. So hardly fringe anymore, is it? So Macron's ignoring that mass immigration is a central core issue in France. But the ex-head of the equivalent of the French CIA says otherwise and says it could cause civil war. Now, what is this going to cost Macron in terms of his election chances? His lead has been narrowing. Everyone expected he was a shoo-in to get re-elected, especially after the war in Ukraine. Obviously, leaders become more popular at times of war, except Joe Biden has bucked that trend. But in fact, a shock election poll that came out today actually has challenger Marine Le Pen, who was quite handily defeated by Macron in the previous presidential election in 2017, actually now leading the globalist candidate Emmanuel Macron in France for the presidential election. Here is the clip. Shocking poll released on the eve of the first round of the French election reveals that populist Marine Le Pen is leading President Emmanuel Macron. The poll conducted by Atlas Politico shows the National Rally leader beating the incumbent in a hypothetical runoff by one percentage point. Macron's lead over Le Pen has been narrowing in recent weeks, and it now appears that the election could be on a knife edge. The survey was taken at around the same time Macron made some bizarre and potentially very damaging comments on self-defense. At a time when many police departments across France are being stretched to the very limit by a wave of migrant gang crime, the 35-year-old farmer in Longray was hit with murder charges after he shot one of four burglars who broke into his home. The farmer was at home at the time of the late-night break-in with his three-year-old daughter. President Macron's response? To throw the farmer under a bus. Quote, I am opposed to self-defense. It's very clear and indisputable because otherwise the country becomes the Wild West, Macron said. And I don't want a country where weapons proliferate and where we consider that it's up to the citizens to defend themselves. In other words, apart from the state, which is already overrun, the only people who are allowed to use weapons are criminals. Presumably the farmer should have just cowered in a corner while the burglars ransacked his home and potentially harmed his three-year-old kid. Macron has also repeatedly failed to address a central election issue throughout the debates, mass immigration. While Le Pen has largely skirted around the issue, it's been left to intellectual firebrand Eric Zemmour to pick up the slack. Zemmour vowed to create a ministry of re-migration which would send migrants with criminal records back home, while former French intelligence chief Pierre Brochand, the equivalent of the head of the CIA, recently warned in an interview that, quote, all multicultural societies are doomed. But Macron himself dismissed the issue, claiming that France isn't being submerged and that zero immigration isn't an option. But that isn't a view shared by much of the French electorate. A Harris Interactive poll found a majority of French believe Europeans are being replaced by non-Europeans. 63% in a separate poll thought there were, quote, too many immigrants in France. And an IFOP survey found that 70% of French believe all immigration should be halted. Macron is still favourite to beat Le Pen. But his sheer tone deafness to one of the most important issues to French voters could just end up costing him the presidency. Now, the regime, again, just like the woke employees of Twitter, and again, if you're worried about, you know, Elon Musk having an influence on the policies or the rules of Twitter, just create your own social media network, right? Twitter's a private company. It can do what it wants. They're in panic. That's good. The regime are also in panic about this poll and Marine Le Pen potentially beating globalist candidate Macron. There's a headline out of the New Republic. It says, yes, be worried. Marine Le Pen could finally come to power in France. Oh, my God, the French people could democratically elect a leader that the regime doesn't like. Oh, we can't have that. Emmanuel Macron's five-year term as president is drawing to a close, it says, and then it goes on in the article to express absolute horror and dread at the prospect of Marine Le Pen beating Emmanuel Macron. So when they're coming out with headlines like that in globalist publications like the New Republic, you know that the regime is scared. Meanwhile, in Sweden, they're also enjoying the benefits of diversity and multiculturalism. Breitbart reports Sweden fatal shootings in first 3 months of 2022 over triple that of 2021. Now remember, 20 years ago, Sweden was the most safe, the safest country in Europe and the entire continent. Now it's the second most dangerous in terms of gun crime after Croatia. Now what happened in the space of that 20 years to make Sweden more dangerous? Does it have anything to do with the fact that they accepted vast numbers of migrants from the Middle East and North Africa? Now they're having even greater problems with crime and with violence. We'll be back. Summit.news. Don't go away.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at TeamG'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at TeamG'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. TeamG'day.com. TeamG'day.com.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. Danpilla.com.
Live from London, England, it's Paul Joseph Watson with Summit.News.
Now, I want to get to these final two videos before we go to our guest in the next segment. Finishing up on Europe, we've got the elite, the regime in a blind panic about the slight potential, it's being listed as 25%, that Marine Le Pen could beat globalist candidate Macron in the French election. Well, Prime Minister Orban in Hungary and other populists won in a landslide a few days ago in Hungary, and now the EU is sanctioning Hungary because Hungarians democratically elected a prime minister. How dare they, that the EU doesn't like. This is EU punishes Hungary for electing Orban. Here's the clip. If there was ever any doubt as to the EU being a horrendous authoritarian anachronism, they're now sanctioning Hungary because Hungarians elected a prime minister that the EU doesn't like. Yeah, really. On Sunday, Prime Minister Viktor Orban was returned to office with a landslide victory. You mean to say Hungarians used their democratic vote to democratically elect a leader of their choice? Someone who actually represents the interests of the Hungarian people and not faceless EU globalists super state technocrats? Oh no, we can't have that. In response, the EU announced it would use an extraordinary new mechanism to cut funding to Hungary. To be clear, the EU is directly punishing ordinary, hard-working Hungarians who chose to vote for Orban, as well as those who didn't vote for Orban. Millions of euros that would have gone to pay for building roads, funding schools, and covering medical care will now be vindictively snatched away. And this all happened after billionaire globalist oligarch George Soros demanded that Hungary be made a, quote, test case. In other words, be made an example of. Because Hungary refused to bow to the EU Commission's supposed, quote, values. Namely, wide open borders and mandatory LGBT teaching in classrooms. The EU was big mad that Hungary's National Assembly passed a law banning the promotion of material related to homosexuality or transgenderism in education, on television, movies, or in advertisements. No, no. Don't you dare try and impede the regime's indoctrination of your kids, even via a parliamentary vote, or will financially sabotage your country. Should we really be surprised that the EU still behaves like a dictatorship? This is the same body that when the French voted in a majority to reject the EU constitution back in 2005, the French political class and the EU simply adopted it anyway, under the Lisbon Treaty, which was virtually identical. Then when the Irish rejected the Lisbon Treaty in 2008, the EU simply made them vote on it again in 2009 until they got the result they wanted. Turns out that unelected bureaucrats don't like the idea of people having to be voted into power by an electorate. Imagine my shock. The EU is a disgusting, foul beast that should be consigned to the ash heap of history. We need Brexit continent-wide, and we need it ASAP. That wraps up the situation in Europe. Now I want to switch to COVID because we don't have long left. Absolutely mad situation in Shanghai where they have another lockdown, indefinite lockdown. Zero COVID has been a complete disaster. This is the clip. Revolt in Shanghai against new lockdown madness. Here it is.
We're now seeing open revolt from the normally submissive, compliant Chinese in response to yet another new lockdown in Shanghai. The city's 26 million residents were initially placed under a 9-day lockdown, but now that has been extended indefinitely. But they're mad as hell and they're not going to take it anymore. Even faced with the prospect of losing points from their precious social credit scores, they've simply had enough. The breaking point appears to have been disgraceful scenes showing children being separated from their parents inside quarantine facilities.
Social media shows children, even infants, separated from their families at a Shanghai hospital after testing positive for COVID-19. Isolated alone, crying.
As well as people being prevented from going out to buy food or seeking urgent medical care.
Anger is reaching a boiling point in Shanghai. Chinese social media showing residents in lockdown protesting, chanting, "We want jobs, we want freedom." Hundreds in one Shanghai neighborhood broke out of confinement, pleading for affordable food. This resident confronts the police, yelling, "Why are we being starved?
We're not even allowed out for exercise."
Residents aren't even allowed to briefly step outside. CNN filmed this man walking in his apartment compound. He was immediately escorted back home.
People are dropping dead in the street because ambulance workers are refusing to get out and treat them.
A woman is screaming in desperation for the paramedic to help an asthma patient. "His heart has stopped," she said, pleading to borrow the ambulance's defibrillator. But the paramedics refused to help.
But what CNN won't tell you is why Shanghai is in this mess. Because unlike other European countries who have chosen to live with COVID and get on with life, China has pursued a disastrous zero COVID policy, which ensures that the rolling lockdowns will never end. We were told 80% of adults in Shanghai had been fully vaccinated, and this was in August last year. That was supposed to provide them with, quote, herd immunity. Yet Shanghai just experienced more COVID cases in the previous 4 weeks than during the entire previous 2 years of the pandemic. 100% safe and effective. And remember, all this is in response to Omicron, despite months and months of data from other countries proving it to be milder than previous variants. Shanghai residents are appearing at their balconies in unison to sing protest songs, only to be confronted by drones with loudspeakers telling them to go back inside. There's also reports of the government forcibly euthanizing the pets of COVID infectees. And lest we forget, China's draconian lockdown was the model for Western countries 2 years ago. Professor Lockdown Neil Ferguson said on record, quote, "It's a communist one-party state," we said. "We couldn't get away with it in Europe," we thought. "And then Italy did it, and we realized we could." Lockdowns are, and always were, a devastating moral outrage. And just because we've learned to live with COVID in the West doesn't mean those who promoted and implemented the horrors of lockdown shouldn't be held responsible and investigated. And if necessary, prosecuted for the horrendous damage they've done to society. Now, bear in mind that you have the irony of CNN siding with these Chinese protesters who are, quote, crying about their freedom and their jobs. CNN being the same network who lobbied in the West, in the United States, for the past 2 years for lockdown, which cost people jobs, businesses, and their freedom. So for CNN to, you know, get in there like they're the moral arbiter, like they're the great defender of freedom and jobs against lockdown, is absolutely hilarious. But again, that shows in China the complete disaster that zero COVID policies have. Meanwhile, Daily Skeptic reports babies struggling with facial expressions after months of lockdown and masks. This is an official report by the Ofsted organization. And again, I still see kids outside. That doesn't mean any mask rules in England for 3 months. Parents have their kids outside wearing masks. It's literally retarding them. It's retarding other babies and toddlers. Based on its analysis, Ofsted reported delays in babies and children's speech and language development and the fact that some babies have struggled to respond to basic facial expressions. So all the people who claim the moral high ground by making kids wear masks are actually stunting their cognitive development. They need to stop it and realize the gross harm that they're doing. Summit.news will be back. Don't go away.
We are only offering 3 coins in the series. The first coin was released in December of 2021 and sold out in 10 days. Now, the second coin as we enter the last days of March into April 2022 is now being offered. And I believe it will sell out in just a few days again because these are historic coins and because our amazing listeners want to support freedom and keep InfoWars at the front lines of the fight against these tyrants. So go for yourself to 1776coin.com and see the new Liberty Tree coin. It is powerful. Witness this powerful iconography for yourself and have this piece of history and be part of the founding member system that we're set to launch in the very near future thanks to your support of this project. Get a historic memento that helps keep InfoWars on the air and also gives you a real piece of history at 1776coin.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Extendovite really works. Here are some reviews from Amazon.com. John Hess, 5 out of 5 stars. Awesome. Probably my only review, but at age 40, I was getting bad heart throb and left arm pain, mainly before bed. I even stopped smoking and drinking sodas for a month, and that didn't work. After one day of taking Extendivite, it was gone and hasn't returned in 3 years. I've ordered Extendivite 13 times, so Amazon just said. Juliet Hordick. I've ordered this product before in liquid form. It is fantastic. My whole family's been on it. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. Shopsupertea.com.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who've helped people that have been injured or wronged. Have you been diagnosed with cancer? Are you one of the millions who have taken Zantac or other generic versions of this popular drug to help treat stomach issues? Then pay close attention to this message. The FDA said it detected low levels of a probable cancer-causing chemical known as NDMA in Zantac and other generic forms of this popular drug. They've banned sales and even removed it from the market. If you've been diagnosed with cancer and you've taken Zantac or a generic equivalent, call the legal helpline now. You could receive a free cash award and have your medical expenses covered. And there's no upfront cost to you. They only get paid if you win. So please call now. 800-998-7173. 800-998-7173. 800-998-7173. That's 800-998-7173.
Listening to the Summit.News Radio Hour with Paul Joseph Watson.
We are live. It is the Summit News Hour, and I'm joined by our guest. We had him on Monday. He is Michael de la Brock from the Telegram channel Bohanka Watch. He is following primary sources on the ground in Ukraine, both pro-Russia, pro-Ukraine. Yes, both sides in wars have propaganda. Incredible that may be. And we have another story here. Of course, on Monday, we were talking about the alleged war crimes committed by Russian troops. I'm going to get to any update on that later on in the show in Booker. But now we have the return of yet another fake news story, and that is Russian mobile crematoriums. Headline, viral Russian mobile crematorium tweet is from an 8-year-old YouTube video. This circled at the beginning of the war and it's doing the rounds yet again. No warning label slapped on this viral tweet from a news agency that claims there's a mobile crematorium in Mariupol. You go and reverse search the image, and we already did it a month ago, because this came out a month ago, was debunked, now it's back again. And it's from a YouTube video from a dumpster from 8 years ago. Now, on the flip side of this, they are claiming in Mariupol, the mayor and other officials are claiming that there's basically a, quote, new Auschwitz that's happened, with, quote, tens of thousands of bodies being burned by the Russians to cover up a massacre. Now, whether that's happening or not, we'll get into it. What I know is not evidence of that is a tweet which has gone viral showing a dumpster from 8 years ago from a screenshotted YouTube video. That is not evidence of tens of thousands of people being burned in Mariupol. And yet I put this out on Twitter and some of the respondents were like, oh, well, it's just a stock image. Bull. If I posted an image of Russians being slaughtered by Ukrainians and it was from 2014, they'd pull me up on that like you'd never believe. They'd say I was engaging in fake news. Twitter would slap it with a fact check, or they'd make me delete the tweet. They do it on a whim and they get away with it. I just refresh the tweet. Nothing's happened to it. It's still gone viral. There's still a bunch of people below it saying, oh my God, this is a new Auschwitz. It's a screenshot from an 8-year-old YouTube video. Michael, welcome back to the show. What is the latest on what is happening in Mariupol? These claims of a new Auschwitz, and what do you think about this once again debunked fake news story about this mobile crematorium circling on Twitter, going viral and not being fact-checked by the esteemed fact-checkers? Tell us what's going on.
Yeah, thank you very much for having me back on, Paul. So, as you outlined, this is an allegation that's now allegedly what's happening in Mariupol, for people who aren't aware. On the fourth day, so the 28th of February, Mariupol was surrounded by the Russian army, and since then it has been subject to siege for the past, coming up to around about a month and a half now. It has been quite a brutal siege. There's been a lot of killing and death on both sides. In terms of the claims of the specific allegations that you're addressing, if this is actually what is happening, it would be one of the best kept secrets that the Russians have been able to sustain throughout this war. And the Russians haven't been very good at keeping various things secret. So from my understanding, the specific allegations seem to come from the mayor of Mariupol, from Vadim Boychenko. From my understanding is he has not been in the city since essentially before it was actually surrounded and besieged. And most of the city council fled the city before the siege began. So that's not precluding that they don't have contacts within the city. Of course they do. But they have provided no, that I have been able to see anyway, no validation, no proof of these alleged mobile crematoria going on that's apparently operating within the city. And if these are operating in the city, they are not doing a very good job, to put it bluntly. I don't particularly want to get very grisly into what's been happening in Mariupol, but it has been a very brutal battle, and unfortunately there has been significant civilian casualties. And anyone who's been following the events in Mariupol and in this part of the war for any length of time will know that every day there is a constant stream of footage coming out of the city. The Russians themselves are releasing footage. The Azov and Ukrainian troops within the city, whenever they had the ability to, they were releasing footage. Kadyrov, Ramzan Kadyrov's fighters, the Chechens, are constantly filming stuff in the city and ironically uploading it to TikTok. There's independent journalists. Through that footage, it is quite evident that the civilians who have been killed, they're usually left to lay on the streets for a number of days until other civilians come and basically bury them within the city parks or beside the roads. I've not seen any evidence of these crematoria operating. If they are operating, someone somewhere would have filmed them, because the vehicle from the YouTube video that it's purported to be from is very distinctive. It does not look like any of the other Russian military vehicles, be it more Western and Ukrainian-aligned open-source internet investigators, be it Russians or Donetsk fighters themselves, they would have picked up on the presence of this vehicle, and there's been no footage at all that I have seen. Not to say it isn't happening, but it would be one of the best-kept secrets that the Russians have been able to keep under their shirts so far during this conflict.
Yeah, I've got a headline here from LBC. And again, I talked about it on Monday. They literally had reports come out in legacy media outlets during the invasion of Iraq saying 400,000 dead in mass grave. Turned out to be complete BS. This LBC headline, again, no one's denying that there's death and carnage. It's a war. But the way they're framing it, the headline is the new Auschwitz, bodies of 10,000 Ukrainian civilians incinerated. And then the mayor, as you said, Boychenko, comes out and says, quote, the world has not seen the scale of the tragedy in Mariupol since the existence of Nazi concentration camps. They're actually going with this full-scale propaganda on the level of Auschwitz. And if you type in mobile crematoriums to Google News, there's literally hundreds of news stories just repeating it ad infinitum. And again, we've had the ghost of Kiev force. Obviously, we've had the alleged slaughter of Ukrainian soldiers on Snake Island. Didn't happen. They peacefully surrendered. We had the attack on a Holocaust memorial in Kiev. Never happened. We've got this on Twitter. I mean, listen to the responses to this tweet, which is still up. It's got 11,000 likes, 7,000 plus retweets, been seen hundreds of thousands of times. The responses, this is Auschwitz on wheels. The horrors being unleashed are on a par, if not worse than what the Nazis did. Someone else says, nothing to see here, just Russian mobile crematoria entering European cities. It's a dumpster from 8 years ago. Now, we know why they're doing this, because they want the no-fly zone, they want the escalation. In fact, I posted this. Within 2 minutes, someone had responded, calling me a Russian bot. Like, no, I'm a real person, I'm literally responding. And whether you call me a Russian bot or not, you're engaging in bot behavior by responding within 2 seconds by saying that. And it's a screenshot from an 8-year-old YouTube video, whoever tells you that or not. I'm going to come back on the other side, Michael, but I want to get into, again, updates on Bucha. I want to get into this. Pentagon says Russia-Ukraine war is likely to last for years. This was a House Armed Services Committee where Mark Milley, the chair of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, said that the war will last for years. It could escalate, which is interesting because that ties into this headline. Washington Post admits NATO wants to prolong war in Ukraine. This was a Washington Post article where they admitted they wanted to weaken, demoralize, and drain Russia by having it fight in Ukraine for the foreseeable future. So, of course, that's going to equate to more people on both sides of the conflict dying. So we've got forces within NATO wanting to prolong the conflict. They don't want a peace deal. And we've got members of the U.S. military-industrial complex saying the same thing, that the war is going to go on for years. I also want to come back briefly in the next segment and talk with Michael about this. New York Times verifies video showing Ukrainian troops killing Russian prisoners of war near Bucha. So we've got the NY Times now basically saying that, yes, prisoners of war are being slaughtered in violation of the Geneva Convention by Ukrainian troops. That didn't circulate very far out of the New York Times, unlike these allegations of literal Auschwitz-level war crimes in Mariupol. We'll be back. Don't go away.
You trust your mother, right? She's always taken care of you and always tried to give you good advice when you ask for it. And sometimes even when you don't. Well, even though she might not mention it, Mom very likely has neck, back, and shoulder pains. And she needs relief. So trust this good advice. Give back to Mom this Mother's Day with quality products from Sunnybay. Like our disposable heat patches. They're back in stock now and target neck and shoulder pain in adults of all ages. Or our extra long neck heating pads. They provide soothing relief to painful sore necks and backs. Mom can heat them in her microwave, and they come in a variety of colors and patterns. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews on Amazon when you search Sunny Bay Heating Wraps. And shop now in time for Mother's Day. There's no shipping delays from Sunny Bay. Find us on Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, and sunny-bay.com. Remember, just search for Sunny Bay Neck Wraps. Order now because stock is high and shipping is fast. From Sunny Bay.
The first 10 amendments to our country's Constitution were adopted in 1791. The first of these broadly protects the rights of free speech and free press. Free speech means the free and public expression of opinions without censorship, interference, and restraint by the government. 231 years later, free speech across America is under chronic and insidious attack. GCN is under attack. Your freedom is currently under siege from those who do not want you to know the truth. I'm asking our fellow broadcasters and you to rise up and help us defend our right to continue telling you the truth. Would you like to join us? If so, please consider visiting SaveGCN.com. That's SaveGCN.com. From there, you can learn more about what's happening. You may click follow, share, give, and pray. I'm Vincent Finelli.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.
According to the World Gold Council, while demand for gold is surging, 72% of people reply they lack the necessary know-how to do so. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta, owner of Advantage Gold, hands down the highest-rated gold dealer in the country. The reason? We lead with education. We've taught millions of investors how to buy gold safely and securely, and our in-depth gold guide explains everything you need to know. From what type of metals to consider, if an IRA or cash transaction is best, and how you can be certain that the gold you're buying is authentic, certified, and real. Call 800-900-8000 now and get our number one rated first-time gold buyer's kit. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the information you need to secure your future. Call 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000 today.
Cancer categorizes over 100 diseases. Though we do not diagnose, treat, or cure cancer, GCN team is offering the Clemson University study where there was up to a 95% reduction in cancerous cells when exposed to a plant-derived mineral supplement. If you or a loved one are searching for answers to this horrifying disease, come to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. We'll email you a copy for free. That's 877-878-4203.
Listening to Summit.News with Paul Joseph Watson.
Hello, we're talking to Michael Delabrock, who runs the Telegram channel Bohanka Watch, and you should all go and follow that channel on Telegram because he has the latest breaking news from primary on the ground sources in Ukraine, both pro-Ukraine, pro-Russian, to try to figure out which propaganda is closer to the truth in any given situation. Of course, that varies. But Michael, we've talked about the fake tweet of alleged Russian mobile crematoriums. Those claims are ongoing. Any updates on this alleged Russian massacre of civilians in Bucha? And then your take on this headline: New York Times verifies video showing Ukrainian troops killing Russian prisoners of war near Bucha. Says the video was posted on Monday and depicts the killing of a wounded Russian soldier who was still breathing before he was shot three times. Of course, we had that previous video from a couple of weekends ago showing Russian POWs being shot in the arm, shot in the knee, and left to die in agony, with Ukrainians filming that and thinking that it'd be a good idea to put it on social media. So any developments on Bucha since we last talked about it on Monday? And what do you make of this situation near Bucha, where Russian troops or Russian prisoners of war were apparently killed by Ukrainian soldiers?
Yeah, so unfortunately, in terms of the Bucha incident and the events around Irpin and Hostomel, as far as I can see, there really isn't much more to be gleaned from it. Is the various satellite footage have come out to said to corroborate various pro-Ukrainian claims, but other than that, it's just become this situation where Western media, pro-Ukrainian media, have just effectively completely swamped out the narrative. So unless there is an actual proper forensic investigation into the specific events in Bucha, I don't think we're really going to get to an actual definitive truth proven by the forensics and by the science that can be gleaned from the events itself. Unfortunately, as I've just said, the media narrative has been established, and that seems to have completely crowded out and swamped any ability to try and discern what is alleged to have happened one way or the other. Of course, as we were saying on Monday, the Russian Ministry of Defense is very strongly protesting and disputing pretty much any allegations at all from Bucha, which I think is probably a bit too strong. I do believe that there are instances in Bucha where it is very likely that the Russians have engaged in various allegations and war crimes. But in terms of the wider events around the town, it like I say, until there's a proper investigation by an independent body, it's I don't think we're really going to be able to ascertain it one way or the other at this stage.
And give us the latest on what's happening on the ground today, because I mentioned Washington Post admits NATO wants to prolong war in Ukraine. You have the Pentagon testifying, Joint Chiefs of Staff are basically saying it's going to last for years. Are they any closer to a peace deal, and what are the main stories to arise in the past couple of days in terms of what's going on the ground then?
Okay, so just to quickly try and wrap it up, in terms of what's actually, because it's quite a broad question and there's a lot of stuff going on, but yes, this war is, I'm expecting at least to be around about 6 to 9 months. From where we are at the moment. It's currently mud season in Ukraine. That's slowing everything down until the summer sun comes and dries out the ground. The Russians are not going to be able to pull off massive advances and maneuvers like they did at the start of the war. In terms of a peace deal, I've noticed over the past month that there has been a softening in the Ukrainian position on certain issues. Most noticeably, the Zelensky and Kiev have dropped any pretense that they could ever join NATO. And there was an interesting sort of softening of their dialogue in terms of Crimea. But in terms of the Donbass and Donetsk and Lugansk, as far as I can see, the Ukrainians are still strongly holding to they refuse to budge on that issue. What is likely to happen over the next couple months is the Russians are building up their strength quite strongly in the east of the country. They are bringing in fresh troops from the Siberia, from the Far East, fresh equipment from across Russia. They're redeploying their troops from that were engaged in Kiev and Chernigov and Sumy. They're being redeployed into the Donbass sector. And it could be the decisive battle of the war, but the Russians and the Ukrainians know they're doing it and they're trying to prepare for it, but the Russians are building up for a massive offensive that is to completely take over the Donbass, achieve the territorial extent of the Luhansk and Donetsk republics. In many ways, whenever it does come to negotiations, it's a fait accompli. Is Ukraine will effectively be dealt with a hand. You don't control this territory at all. You've been completely defeated here and pushed out, so why are you still holding on to it? The problem there is the Russians at that stage could feel that they have committed too much men, they've lost too much blood, and they've lost too much equipment, that the Russians might... Interestingly, I've seen some developments in Kherson and Zaporozhye. The Russians might actually extend what they're looking for into southern Ukraine for various reasons.
Okay, Michael, we're going to leave it there. We'll be sure to have you back. But the Telegram channel is Buhanka Watch, or you can search for his name, Michael de Lebrot, on Telegram. Be sure to follow that channel for the latest breaking updates. Michael, thanks again. We'll have you back soon.
No problem. Thank you, Paul.
Okay, we're going to go to some final news stories, but first I want to throw to this video, because I've been trying to play it for days, basically. Finally got the chance here at the end of the show. Quick two-minute video. This is Keep Them Docile with Drugs and Video Games. Wait till you hear what the man cited by the elite as one of the greatest living thinkers of the 21st century thinks about humanity. Here's the clip. Historian, professor and author Yuval Harari is listed as an agenda contributor to the World Economic Forum. He's also cited by virtually every technocrat and elitist worth their soul. They laboriously shower him with praise, heralding him as one of the 21st century's greatest thinkers. So should it concern us that Yuval Harari thinks that most of the population are, quote, hackable animals who need to be kept docile via drugs and video games? Yeah. That might be a worry.
And then the big political and economic question of the 21st century will be, what do we need humans for? Or at least, what do we need so many humans for?
Beyond wage slave migrants to service Harari and his globalist buddies, apparently nothing.
At present, the best guess we have is keep them happy with drugs and computer games.
We call this the metaverse.
But don't worry, the elite really care about you. I mean, one of their biggest heroes literally said you're all useless eaters, but I'm sure he didn't mean it.
Would constitute a new useless class. When I say that these are useless humans...
Harari previously stated that voters don't know what's best for them. That the elite will soon be able to hack into people's brains. That there needs to be, quote, an antivirus for the brain to prevent people being infected with fake news. That there is no free will or God, no heaven or hell. And that while the elite themselves will become gods via transhumanism, most of the rest of us will soon, quote, disappear. And to emphasize, this is the guy that the elite thinks is one of the greatest thinkers of the 21st century. But yeah, I'm sure they really have your best interests at heart.
A new useless class.
Well, there you have it. Let's go to some final news stories here, because the wave of Russophobia continues to sweep the globe, where Russian culture in a broad sweep is subject to cancellation. Headline, Britain's National Gallery changes name of 19th century painting due to, quote, current situation. Gotta support the current thing. The British National Gallery has changed the name of a 19th century painting by French Impressionist Edgar Degas from Russian dancers to Ukrainian dancers due to the, quote, current situation. Why did they change the name of the painting? Because one activist wrote an email whining about it. Yeah, that's enough. The activist described it as a micro-victory. Of course, we had the previous cancellation of Dostoevsky, who a course got cancelled in Milan University on Dostoevsky. We've had pianists, we've had conductors, world-famous, being cancelled. Basically, their careers are ruined because they were born on a piece of land called Russia. We've had the world number one, Medvedev, the tennis player, being asked to publicly denounce Putin, basically being ideological subservient to whatever the regime narrative wants at the time. Very dangerous precedent to set if he's allowed to compete at the Wimbledon tennis tournament. Meanwhile, Twitter bans ex-UN weapons inspector over Ukraine. This is former US Marine Corps officer Scott Ritter, who of course was instrumental in exposing the lies behind the weapons of mass destruction hoax, and boy did they target him for that afterwards. He's now been permanently suspended from Twitter, basically because he dared to challenge the regime narrative in terms of the Bucha, quote, massacre that happened near Kiev. So now basically the standard has been set. If you dare go against regime NATO narratives, you are subject to cancellation and deletion. Meanwhile, Spotify announces Russia exit date. Yes, if you're Russian, you won't be able to listen to music on Spotify from next Monday. That's going to wrap it up. War Room is coming up next. Summit.news. Don't go away.
Stock market have you nervous? With geopolitical conflict and inflation concerns, it's virtually impossible to guess what will happen next. But with Vantage Point, you don't have to. Learn to trade with artificial intelligence. Text the word DEMO to 813813 and discover how to predict stock market trends up to 3 days ahead with incredible accuracy. Whether you trade stocks, options, forex, futures, or crypto, Vantage Point's patented artificial intelligence can give you a massive edge. Text DEMO to 813813 to get what you need to stay ahead of the markets and find big moves before they happen. Don't wait. Text DEMO to 813813.
Trading involves financial risk and is not suitable for all investors. Past results do not guarantee future performance. By texting DEMO, you agree to the terms available at VantagePointSoftware.com/terms and consent to receive calls and text using automated technology about offers or info by or on behalf of VantagePoint. Your consent is not a condition of purchase and can be revoked at any time. Message and data rates may apply.